Hey, a couple announcements before we get rolling. Number one, the Lees have a graduation. We celebrated our high school graduates last Sunday, but the Lees have, Lance's graduation is actually this afternoon. So I'm going to work real hard to get out of here quickly. So if I talk kind of fast, you can go back and listen to the recording. Number two, so I Googled Ebb and Pinion this morning. Once you understand it, it gives a whole new meaning to the song. Ebb and pinion is like a dark wing spread out over you. And the idea is that even on the cross, God was protecting and covering his son, even though it was painful and awful. And yet God's wing was still spread out over him. And sometimes we're like that, right? Sometimes it feels dark. Sometimes it's painful. There's a lot of stinging. It's scary. But that wing of protection is still over us, and that's the Lord taking care of us. So I thought that was really cool. I thought I had to share it. I had to share it. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get into the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for bringing us all together to remind our hearts of your love, your mercy, your forgiveness, and your constant care for us every day of our lives. Father, look, you've done everything. And while we take a look at the scriptures that you've left for us, I pray, Lord, that you give us the faith and the strength to be faithful to you. You have nothing left to prove. And we know we do. And we want to please you. We want to glorify you with our lives. We want to glorify you with our mouths, with everything. Because, Father, we do not want to be apart from you. And we all desire to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And until that day, Lord, I pray that we remember that we are servants and that we will serve faithfully. Father, as we study your scriptures together today, I pray that you open our eyes so that we can see. I pray that you open our hearts so that we can receive. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I was still, I know last Sunday we had the high school graduation message, and I was still just kind of caught up in that idea. And so God says, well, hey, here's something fun. So today we're going to do something fun. And it just brings us all into that, to that, that part of life, because we all go through different experiences and different times in our life, and we all know that some are really fun and we wish they'd last forever, and some are very, very difficult and we wish they would be over as quickly as possible. But one of the ideas that we have as followers of Jesus, one of these these things that seem to be in opposition that we have to hold together in this balance and in this tension, and that is the idea that we are all on a journey and we are all headed to a destination. Now, before we apply it to our faith and our Christian principles, think about yourself and just your personality. Because some of us are journey people, right? Some of us are, I mean, you can find fun and exciting things in every part of the way. And some of us are destination people, okay? Here's how you know. Here's how you know. When you are going on a road trip as a kid, where you're having to beg dad to pull over to use the restroom, or Were there plenty of stops along the way, all right? Some of us are destination people. We're like gas mileage and time. I don't know who I'm racing, but they're out there somewhere. And so I'm beating my personal best. I'm about the destination. Now, as I get older, I had to go to Waco this week. I wouldn't recommend it, but you know, I just had to. So I'm driving back from Waco on Friday afternoon, and I get from Waco all the way to Sweetwater. And I hadn't stopped, and I got to tell you, I got out of the truck in Sweetwater. I was like, oh, maybe I should have got out of the truck and enjoyed the journey a little bit more, because that destination was stiff. But I like to make good time. And you know, sometimes in life, and really, we're gonna bring this into to all of us, the walk that we're all on. We all have this the destination in mind. We all know where we're headed. We want to see Jesus face to face. We want to see our Lord and Savior. Because we've already put our faith in Him. We trust Him for our salvation. We trust Him for every day of our lives. And we are ready for that day. We are working towards something. We have that destination in mind. But at the same time, the life of faith that we walk each and every day must be held in such a high value and esteem. Because if we get these out of balance, we miss so much of what the Lord is doing. Because He didn't just act at Calvary, and He's not just going to act when Jesus comes back. But God is active in His creation every single day. And God is looking out for us, He's guiding our steps, and He is blessing us if we take the time to see it, to notice it. And when we do, when we enjoy the journey as much as the destination, then you and I are truly going to be living our lives the way Jesus does. And so that's where we're headed this morning. All right, a few examples, biblical examples of what it looks like when you keep the journey and the destination together. Our first one is in Esther. Find Esther. Esther, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, right before Job. Nehemiah and Job. There's this little book, Esther. Highlights. Esther was, Esther was the niece of Mordecai. And Mordecai's a Jew, which kind of makes Esther a Jew. And they're living in a foreign land. And apparently Esther was a smoke show. Am I using that correctly? Was that it? Oh, we said, I never said foxy. Mark said foxy. Oh, Ahuga. All right. Esther was hot. Okay. Esther was hot. So the king's queen was not very receptive to him acting like a fool. So he takes care of her. And Mordecai says, well, hey, I have this attractive niece. She'll do. Let's see if she can, you know, make the whatever it is, Miss America, Miss Persia, the beauty contest. Well, Esther ends up being the queen of a foreign land. And I love the Old Testament books, Daniel and Esther and Ruth, the ones that were taking place in a land that was not the safety of Israel and Jerusalem. I love the stories. And there's a lot of them. Because it seems like all the stories we read about Joshua and Judges and, you know, Kings and Samuel, you hear about God's people just not doing well and not being faithful. You read the ones during the exile, and the books we get in the Old Testament are the heroes. They're the ones that are doing it right in a difficult time and place. And so Esther's exalted to queen, and Mordecai is receiving death threats. He's made an enemy in the king's court. And Haman, the bad guy in the story, wants to put down all the Jews, wants to put down all of God's people. Well, Mordecai finds out about this, and he goes to Esther, and he says, look, you got to do something here. God has brought you to a place in a position where you can actually be a positive influence on this situation. And he also reminds her, oh, and by the way, you're one of us too. You're one of us too. So I want us to read. Just a few verses here in Esther. Go over to chapter 4. Because Esther, she's going along and she's enjoying the journey. I mean, she is queen, but she does not lose sight of the destination. And so she's going to risk her life to stand up for her uncle and her people. And she's willing to do that. So I want us to read, because there's a very powerful section here in Esther chapter 4. Go to verse 12. Esther 4:12. And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, Relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. Oh, you gotta love this. The power here of Mordecai saying, "Look, sister, all right, if the king goes through with this, if Haman, the bad guy, gets in the king's ear and really does put us down, you're going to be with us." All right? And then he says, because he doesn't lose faith. He doesn't lose faith. You know, sometimes you and I, along the journey, something difficult happens, something bad happens, and we just, it's all falling apart. I don't see a solution. I don't know how God's going to get me out of this. Well, guess what? God has a little more experience in rescuing his people than you do complaining about when it doesn't look fun. So how about we not trust our complaints? How about we trust the Lord? Because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And so Uncle says to Esther, "Hey, God's going to take care of his people. The only question is, are you going to be a part of it or not?" Oh, church, we got to hear that. We got to hear that along our journey. Each and every day, the light of Jesus is going to be seen. The only thing we have to ask ourselves is, are we going to be active participants? Are we going to play our part? Because who knows, today, that person may be the reason why God brought you up in his kingdom for that time and that place and that situation. And when you start putting that kind of importance on your life and your journey, then everything becomes important. God does such an amazing job. We do such an amazing job of elevating small stuff and completely ignoring big stuff. And it seems, though, if you've read your Bible for any amount of time, that God wants us to elevate everything. That God puts an importance on everything. Things that you and I take for granted. Things that you and I miss. And so we have got to hear that. If we are going to live each and every day faithfully to God, walking in the footsteps of Jesus, then you got to ask yourself, who knows? Today might be the day why you were put exactly where you were put to say and do exactly what you need to say and do. And you know what? If it hurts, it hurts. The only important thing is that God's will be done. So are we going to be a part of it? Esther was a part of it. I'll let you read the last chapters of the book if you don't know how it turns out. It's a winner. It's a winner. All right, let's go to the next one. Genesis 45. You know this guy's story. Genesis 45 is the tail end of Joseph's story. Remember Joseph? Anybody under the age of 10, what do you remember about Joseph? Who's under the age of 10? You're 10. What do you remember about Joseph? Exactly. What do you remember about Joseph? Uh-huh. What do you remember about Joseph? I'm raising it to 12. Oh, what do you remember about Joseph? Jonathan, what do you remember about Joseph? Who was Joseph? You're 12? Okay, tell me something about Joseph. Oh, yeah, thank you. He had that coat of many colors. Remember his brothers got mad at him and they threw him in the pit, sold him to the slave traders? That's Joseph. Joseph, as if that wasn't bad enough that his family, all of his, he was daddy's favorite. His brothers hated him. They sell him into slavery. He goes off to Egypt. And then he gets a job. The Lord is with him. But then he's falsely accused. He spends time in prison. No one helps him. He even helps other people. I mean, Joseph's story is crazy, but it's amazing. It's amazing. And through all of that, I mean, just hardship. I mean, where you and I would be sitting there and we're like, no more ebb and pinion, please. No, thank you. I don't want the heaviness and the weight of the dark wing on my life anymore. I'm out. Joseph doesn't quit. He doesn't give up. And at the end of the story, when he reaches the destination, because the destination is that God has put him exactly where he's put him all along the way to be the deliverer for his entire family and bring all of them to Egypt to survive the famine. He saves the lives of those awful brothers that tried to kill him. That's quite a destination. And he had quite a journey to get there. So here's a little tidbit. If you're going through rough stuff, guess what? God just might be preparing you for some awesome outcomes. Because you don't accomplish big things for God if it doesn't have a personal cost. I've read the book. Okay? If it's cheap, if it's easy, and it's painless, you're not going to get a big shout out in there. Okay? But when it is difficult, when it hurts, when it's hard, when your faith might be the only light shining in your life at the moment, God's ready to use that for something big. I do know that. So, at the end of everything, let's go to Genesis chapter 45. I want to read a few verses here. Because as he finally reveals himself to his brothers, you think he still had that coat of many colors? Think so? No? Cassie goes, nah. That may have been what she was still holding on to. I don't know. Oh, that's right. He didn't get to keep it, did he? Thank you, Cassie. That's right. They put the blood on it. That's right. All right, Genesis 45, starting verse 4. So Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. And they came near. And he said, I'm your brother. I'm your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen and you shall be near me. You and your children and your children's children and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. Now that's a destination. That's a destination to go through all the pain and the suffering and the hardship and the not fair. I'm being faithful to you, God. Why are bad things happening to me? I'm doing what you say to do, and none of it's working out in my favor. What is going on? And yet he remained faithful. He held on. He trusted God. Every step of the journey and the destination, he's finally face to face with his brothers, the guys who started off all of these bad steps. And he goes, whoa, don't beat yourself up. God meant this to save lives. Oh, would that we had that faith. That whatever I have to go through, it's all right. God intends my life to be a light and life for others. My journey, every step of the way, my destination. Joseph kept them together. All right. Well, we got to look at a loser. Be surprised. Old Testament loser. Who are we going to? Any guesses? What? No. Old Testament loser. No. 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 Y'all are going to be upset with me now. Aaron, tell him. What? You said Samson? No. Moses. Boop. I don't know. I've been reading about Moses. All right? I mean, we've made him like super something. Moses is not as cool as we have made him out to be. Right? I was doing a study this last week on Melchizedek and the fact that God had to separate. He had to separate kingship and priesthood. Why? Because of Moses. God wanted them together. Remember Melchizedek? He was king and priest. And Moses comes along and says, well, I can't do it. And God said, yeah, you can. I'll be with you. No, Lord, I really can't do it. Ah, fine. Get your brother. God makes a concession for Moses' weakness. And all through the journey, now, again, we can applaud Moses because I know you and your felt boards, you have a real affinity for Moses. He's got the tall stick and, you know, the burning bush and all that stuff. He got to experience a lot of amazing things in his journey, right? But in the end, did he make the destination? He did not. All that God brought him through, and yet when it came down to it, God was willing to look at him and said, look, I'll be honest, Moses, you don't trust me. I can't bring you to where I am because you don't trust me. We had to look at a strikeout. Ah. Look, again, you go back, you read Moses' life. He got to see and he got to do, and he got to do so much. He got to do so much, but in the end, God says to him, you're not winning, Moses. You're not getting in the destination. Of course, the destination was the promised land, right? All right, here's the fun. Here's the fun of the story. I know, it's not fair. Go to Numbers 14. Numbers 14. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 14. Numbers chapter 14. In Numbers 14, all right, before Moses fails, who are the people that failed before him? Like the story of the Exodus, we're headed to the promised land. Who were the people that failed God? Who would you say? The what? The spies. Thank you. Numbers 14. We get the failure of the spies. Take a look at your Bibles. Where does it happen? It's kind of a big deal. Numbers 14. Numbers 14. All right, in Numbers 14, the people rebel because of the spies' report. You remember what the spies said? They're big. We can't do it. God has brought us here to destroy us. So let's not follow God. I mean, that's what they said. God brought us here to kill us. So let's not trust God. Now, you can imagine that God might feel a certain way hearing this. Now, this happens, Numbers 14, happens at a little place called Kadesh. Okay? A little place called Kadesh. So in Kadesh, we have the spies give the bad report, and all of Israel reacts, and they are like, well, we can't follow God. We can't trust him. We're all going to die. Well, God's none too happy about this. He's not too happy, and he says, fine. Okay. You don't want to trust me? Fine. Then you don't get the destination. You don't get the destination. And then again, in one of the most heartbreaking chapters, he says, y'all are just going to walk around in circles for the next 40 years and then die. That's right. You're going to walk around in the desert in circles for the next 40 years and then die. And we'll try again with your kids. God is willing to do that. How many times in the Bible did God say, hey, do you want me to smite them? Because I can bring up a people out of nothing. I've done it. I can do it again. How many times does he have to do that? And again, Moses intercedes for him over and over. He does good things. Now, go ahead to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, because this is it. Moses on his journey, he's learning. He's not perfect, but he's getting there. He's becoming a pretty reliable guy. Numbers chapter 20, we're back at Kadesh. Not an accident. Not an accident. At Kadesh, Moses himself does something that makes God none too happy. Spoiler alert, what did Moses do? What did God tell him to do? Hello? God said, speak to the rock and I'll provide you water. Because you know, Israel, they're all griping at Moses. Moses, come on, it's hot and thirsty out here. We need some water. And Moses did the right thing. He went into God and said, God, they're hot and thirsty. We need water. And God said, fine, go speak to the rock. I'll give you water. And Moses walks out. Woo-hoo, he got out of his lane real quick. And he doesn't talk to the rock. Bow, bow. He double tapped that rock with his staff. Now, what happened? God gave the water. God gave the water. But in that double tap, Moses misses the destination. Whew. How would you like to live that whole life of faith and be a biblical hero? And in the end, God goes, sorry about you. I mean, wasn't it kind of scary when Jesus told the story and he's separating sheep and goats and he's like, hey, sorry about you. Wait, what Jesus, I kind of gave you my life. You didn't take care of the hungry. You didn't feed the poor. You didn't give the shirt off your back. I mean, what were you really doing? But Jesus says, I'll tell you what you were really doing. You were ignoring me. Because in every person that I sent you that had need, well, Lord, if we had known it was you, well, church, do we know that it's the Lord? Yep, we're without excuse. You want to be a sheep, not a goat. Right? Okay. All right, back to it. Numbers chapter 20. Remember, we're back at Kadesh. Let's go down to verse 6. Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle. And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. And water came out abundantly. The congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through them he showed himself holy. All right, Kadesh, these two stories. You know there's no vowels in Hebrew, right? Kadesh is the same spelling in the Hebrew Bible as Chadosh, which means holiness. That's the point of the whole story. God says, I am holy. You don't trust me. you don't get to be where I am. In fact, I believe in the New Testament we had some kind of verse, something like that, that without holiness you shall not see the Lord. It's kind of a big deal. I want to see the Lord. I want to reach the destination. Don't you? Yeah, we want to get to the destination. So be faithful on the journey. That's the point. All right, now, we come to the New Testament. We love our New Testament. Why? Because Jesus is there. Unless you've read the Old Testament, then you realize Jesus is there too. But we're going to come to some more familiar Jesus verses, and we're going to take a look at the one who does it perfectly, who got the journey and the destination in perfect harmony, perfect balance, just the way we are called to do it. Let's go to the Gospel of Mark. Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 1. Now, here's how you keep your eyes on the destination and pay attention during the journey. Mark chapter 1, verse 29. Mark 1, 29 says, immediately he left the synagogue. He entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came out and took her by the hand, lifted her up. The fever left her. She began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick, were oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. They found him and said to him, hey, everybody's looking for you. And he said, well, let's go to the next town. I love that. That I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. I got a job to do. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. A leper came to him, imploring him in verse 40, kneeling to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, touched, and said to him, I will be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and was made clean. Now look, church, we see here a Jesus who knows where he's going, he knows why he's going there, and he also knows the importance of every single day and every interaction that we are blessed to have directly from God. And when we start to see our lives with that much importance, when we start to see our lives in the same view that our Father sees our lives, then we are going to live with the destination always held in front of our eyes. It's where I'm headed. It's where I'm going. It's what I'm all about. And yet, I will not fall into the trap of ignoring the person that needs help along the way. That's why Jesus is so perfect. He just gets them just right. And he goes, I know where I'm going. And you guys may just think I'm awesome because I'm healing all your people, but I still have other places to go. So I can't just become comfortable here, sit here, and just continue to do this with all the warm fuzzies of everybody telling me what a great guy I am. I got stuff to do. And he does. And he's going to the next towns. And along the way, some guy finds him and is like, hey, I need your help. And he goes, I got you. And he shows pity to him, and he helps him. Let's go a few chapters ahead. Go to chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. We'll stay in here. In Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Here's destination. Mark 8, 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he turned and he saw the faces of everybody around him and realized this moment right here is important. This is a big deal. To everyone around me. You and I are not even usually paying attention to how important the kindness that we show other people is. You and I are usually not even paying attention to how important that moment of faith where we just stand up and say, I belong to Jesus Christ. And it is so big. I was in Waco for training all this last week. And we're having meals together, and I was silently giving thanks for my meal head bowed. It just took a minute, and someone noticed, and they asked me about it. And then we started talking. And then we were at a meal together the next day, and after talking, and they said, Michael, will you offer a blessing for our meal? I said, I'd be glad to. And so I got to offer a blessing for the meal. So the last night, a guy I just met, I've known him a couple days, we're at a restaurant, it's a fancy Italian place the last night, and okay, he was struggling the week. He had some other stuff going on. But that last night, because of our conversation, you know what he did? He stood up in between these two long tables, and he said, hey, everybody, can we take a second? I would like to offer thanks to God for this time and this meal together. You go, boy. He didn't ask me to do it. I already did mine. I did it the night before. And that guy, coming from a pretty difficult place, from what I learned, he just stood up and said, we need to give thanks right here and right now. You don't know, but you gotta know that they're watching, they're paying attention. And Jesus said, look, I have a job to do, I have a destination to get to. And Peter's like, oh. But Jesus is always mindful of who's around him. And he looked around, he saw their faces, and here's what he said. Get behind me, Satan! That's what he said. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And then he gives the speech and says, hey, if you're going to come after me, you're going to deny yourself, you're going to take up your cross. Church, destination, journey. Keep your eyes and your thoughts on the things of God. If we get too wrapped up on our things, we're all about the journey, right? We forget the destination. And if we just put our blinders on and we say, oh, I'm goal-oriented, I got to get to heaven, I got to make it, as long as I get there unstained from the world and perfect and it's all just, all I have energy for is me. And we don't look around and notice the people around us that are Jesus crying out to us, if you will, can you help me today? We got to respect the journey. All right, last thing, real quick. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. Chris, you ready? Hebrews 12, 2. Chris is studying the Greek, so I'm going to give him this homework. Hebrews 12, 2. It says that Jesus is the what and the what? Author and perfecter. I want you to go, Chris, this week and find those two Greek words, because if you can get your head and your heart wrapped around those two words in the Greek, this whole chapter will just go, and it'll open up for you in ways it never has before. All right? Got the numbers? You with me? Oh, no, you don't have to pull them up. No, I just want you to be aware of them. Founder or author and perfecter. Those two words, okay? That's your homework this week. Get in it. I mean, just Google Hebrews 12, 2 Greek and tap on those two words. Whatever you got, okay? You all have a phone. It's in your pocket. You find those two words, you dig in it this week, because that right there, Hebrews 12, the point is Jesus shows us how it's done. He begins us with faith, and he is going to give us faith to get all the way to the finish line. That's the point. That's the point. Ben read it wonderfully, so I'm not even going to read it again. But your homework this week, go find those two words in Greek, as it will flourish in your heart, and it will show you something. It'll show you something big. It'll show you something big. Church, that's the point. Okay? The journey and the destination. They work together, and we can't take one out, and we can't take the other one out. We can't just be we have a schedule to beat. No restroom breaks, and we're going to get there. And we can't just be but look, there's some flowers on the side of the road. Or, hey, we haven't used the restroom in that gas station yet. Let's stop here. Okay, you can't just be one or the other. You got to keep them together, because that's how Jesus does it. And he is the author and perfecter of our faith. And once you get into Greek, you're going to love those. You're going to love those. All right. There it is. Now, the other thing that Hebrews 12 tells us is that we are all in a race. and we got to run all the way to the end. And so we look to Jesus from start to finish. We are going to, well, we started with him with our confession and our baptism, and we are going all the way to our finish lines when we see him face to face, and he looks at us and says, hey, bravo, well done, you did it right. Come on in. You get to be with me because you're holy. I made you holy, and you were holy. Church, that's our invitation. That's our invitation. So whether you need to start it today or whether you need to, you know, take a shot of spiritual Gatorade and give you a little bit of strength, some electrolytes for the rest of the race, whatever you need, all right? Whether you're at, you're right there at the finish line or you're just kind of wandering in circles going, recalculating, you took a wrong turn somewhere, whatever. All right, if we can pray for you, if we can be here for you, we are.